Turn in our Bibles here to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. And we're going to read here, we're just going to read one verse. We'll read verse number 26. If you have a say, amen. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. Now, during the podcast, we've been going through some things related to the book of Thessalonians. And as you see, as you go through the epistle, what you see is towards the end of this thing here in chapter 5, that the Apostle Paul starts laying out some practical information for individuals on what it is that they're supposed to be doing in their Christian life. Now, and this is after, as he's laid out some things earlier in the epistle related to the example that this assembly was for other other assemblies, out there. He lays out things related to the catching out of the saints, the event that scriptures identify and call the day of Christ. And then he closes out, and you see from about verse 14 through the end of this chapter, laying out these different things where he's really trying to remind this assembly of that these are the things that they really should be doing as part of their Christian life. And the one we're looking at here this morning is this issue of greeting all the brethren. So this issue of the care that we are supposed to have, and that part of that care is related to the greeting that we should be demonstrating towards other individuals. Now, as we look at this, one of the things that we see in the scripture is that as Paul speaks about some things, he will really use some of the cultural issues of what is going on in the places to really, talk about what it is that they should or shouldn't do, but giving that liberty related to what it is that you're doing. And an example here is, let's go over to 1 Timothy chapter number 2. 1 Timothy 2. And we're going to see here another one of these examples of where Paul is laying out this thing of using what it is that they're doing to speak of, as a good example. We read verse number 8, and it says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. And what Paul is doing, as he's talking to Timothy here, and he's saying this thing about that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, he's not giving a description of that this is how everyone is supposed to pray. Now, there are individuals that will use that, and so that's where you'll see the thing of where, that if you've ever seen this, where people kind of raise their hands up as they're praying, this is where they're getting that from, because they're saying, well, Paul says that this is what they're supposed to be doing. Paul says that as part of this thing of, in their prayer, when he talks about this lifting up holy hands, this was a cultural thing that they were doing. And so he was saying, okay, as you're doing this and you're demonstrating your cultural issues, make sure that your prayer is without wrath and doubting. He's not giving a prescription of that this is what is supposed to occur. Now, so as we see this issue of and shifting it back into what Paul was saying over into the assembly in Thessalonica about the greeting thing and saying about to greet one another with a holy kiss, we see that the issue of, you know, that being part of the greeting, culturally, we see that throughout some things in Scripture. In fact, we're going to read a couple passages out of the book of Luke that's actually going to demonstrate this. And we go over to Luke chapter number 7 first. And here in Luke chapter number 7, you see that there's, as you start moving down here in the chapter, you see the woman who's anointing the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a parable that starts to be given in verses 40, 41, and 42 of Luke chapter number 7. We're going to pick up here in verse number 43. Here, when it says, Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most, and he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, he hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. So we see this issue of the Lord Jesus Christ as he's speaking here to Simon, is talking about these different things that did not occur when he entered into his house. And the one thing he says here again in verse number 45, it begins with, Thou gavest me no kiss. So he's really kind of saying, you didn't do what, this is not how you greeted me. You really just kind of like let me come in to your house with no real greeting. As long as we're here in the book of Luke, we'll go over to Luke chapter number 22. And what we're going to be reading here in Luke chapter number 22 is actually going to be part of the betrayal that happens here. I'm going to start here at verse number 47. And it says, And while he yet spake, behold a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them, and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? Now, as you piece the four Gospels together and look at how everything flowed out, that you saw how Judas had identified to the priests that were looking to kill the Lord Jesus Christ, that this is how I'm going to identify him, is that I'm going to identify him with a kiss, and that was part of that greeting that was supposed to be occurring. Now, as I'm saying, this is part of, that this was not done in any sort of, romantic, manner. This wasn't done in anything where I'm going to forcibly kiss another individual. This is a way of a greeting today in the United States, that we would greet someone in a manner with you know, a handshake. You know, we might greet them with a big hug. You know, we don't typically walk up to individuals and say, "Hi, how you doing? Nice to see you," and give them a big kiss. Now, in some of the European countries, that is still part of that culture. That, you know, that they walk up to individuals and do give them a kiss as part of that greeting. You know, but the idea with it, it remains the same of that we should be greeting the members of the body of Christ. We should be having that care that's supposed to be in existence for the members of the body of Christ, because that is, you know, something that we are supposed to be demonstrating. And we see how Paul, you know, in his epistles, especially as he's closing them out, you see how he will make a reference to things related to this greeting here. We're just going to look at a couple of epistles and how he's closing them out to see this. We'll look at Romans chapter number 16 first. And here in Romans chapter number 16, you see how that there's, you know, really from the beginning of this chapter, there's a number of, you know, it's, you know, individual after individual that, you know, the Apostle Paul is talking about greeting these individuals. Then down to verse number 16 of Romans chapter 16, it says, "Salute one another with an holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you." So, as, you know, he's kind of laying this out of, you know, greeting these individuals, you know, having this care for them, then he puts into that general thing of, you know, to greet each other, to have that care for each other as the members of the body of Christ. We'll go over here now to 1 Corinthians. We'll go to chapter number 16 as well. And you see how in, again, he lays out in the same kind of manner, talking about some individuals. Here we're going to start here at verse number 19. Here it says, "The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. All the brethren greet you. Greet ye one another with an holy kiss." So this idea of, you know, he's saluting individuals. He's talking about this assembly that's in their house. He then is telling the people in Corinth, you know, that all the brothers, all the members of the body of Christ are greeting you, and saying, "Well, you know what? In the same manner as they're greeting you, you should be greeting one another. You should be having that level of care for the other individuals who are the members of the body of Christ." We'll go over to 2 Corinthians now. We'll go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 13. And this is, we're able to kind of see how, as we're going through these epistles, that Paul is over and over again laying this out of where there should be this care. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 13, we'll start here right at verse number 11. It says, "Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Greet one another with an holy kiss. All the saints salute you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. And so, you see, as Paul's writing this and he's saying, you know, finally, brethren, you know, that these are the final things that I'm going to be saying to you in this epistle, and he takes it back to that idea of that care and the greeting that they're supposed to have for each other, and then closes out with the fact of the whole Godhead. You know, when it says the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that there's God the Son, you know, the love of God, that's God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Ghost, God the Spirit, all three parts of the Godhead being with the members of the body of Christ. But that issue of that greeting that's supposed to happen. And when you look at, you know, what should happen in, you know, a local assembly, you know, and it's whether it's, you know, someone who's coming in for the very first time or whether it's someone who's been here for a long time, that individuals really should be, you know, when someone comes in, there should be a, you know, kind of greeting with it. Now, it doesn't have to be the thing of where, you know, the person walks in and everyone screams the name of the individual as they're walking in. But it also shouldn't be a thing of where, you know, somebody walks in and everyone just kind of goes, that there should be, you know, some sort of at least warm kind of greeting, that warm care for each other, because Paul in his epistles really does lay out that issue of the care that we are to have for each other, because the reality of things is that the world is opposed to who we are. And when I say the world, I'm talking not just about, you know, people who are just completely opposed to Christianity, but even individuals who identify themselves as Christian, you know, really don't display their care for other individuals oftentimes as well. And it could really have that appearance to somebody, especially if they're coming in to an assembly for the first time, of, well, you know, the message was good, but, you know, the people didn't seem to care for each other. You know, they could care less if, you know, I had even walked in the door. You know, there's a care that, you know, as Paul's going to lay out here, let's go over to Galatians chapter number 6. I'm going to read here in Galatians chapter number 6, and we'll read verse number 10. And it says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So Paul, as he's closing this epistle out to this assembly in Galatia, and when we really look at that assembly, this was a group of individuals who had really put themselves under the law system again, that Paul had been teaching them the things of the grace of God. Somebody had come in after him and really had kind of said, you know, Paul forgot to tell you about the things of the law, forgot to tell you that this was the things that you needed to do. So these assemblies started doing all of the things of the law, And as they were doing all of those things, you know, they were, even though they were saved, they were getting farther and farther away from what God intended for them to do, to the point of where Paul, he must say things about how he's afraid of them because of their things of following the law. But as he has to tell them about to not do the things of the law, he also has to say that this is what the grace of God would actually say that you are supposed to do. Because the law, you know, when we are talking about this thing about the care for individuals, the law just starts talking about things of to love your brother. And when you get into books like James, Peter's epistles, John's epistles, this becomes a measuring stick for if somebody's actually, you know, if they're saved. To the point of where it said, well, if you see how they're, and I'm going to be paraphrasing things, if you see how they're treating other individuals and see that they're not treating them, if they're not treating their brethren properly, then these, well, they're not saved because they're not following the things of the law. Now, the grace of God takes it that step further and takes it from just that idea of loving your brother, the issue of good to all, and especially unto those who are of the household of faith, but so especially unto the members of the body of Christ, that we should be demonstrating that love, that care for each other. And that starts from the way that we greet individuals and just care and carries on forward all of the ways that we deal with the members of the body of Christ. And Paul doesn't qualify it as, well, you know, especially unto them who are of the household of faith that I like. Or that, you know, especially unto the household of faith that don't annoy me at times. You know, it's just especially unto them who are of the household of faith, and it's just a blanket statement of if they're a member of the body of Christ, we're to have a care for them. We're to be, you know, demonstrating that in our Christian walk. To the point of where Paul will actually hold up individuals as a pattern with this. If we go back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 16 for a moment. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, we'll read here verses 15 and 16. It says, I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us, and laboreth. So Paul is, he's closing out this epistle, holds up the house of Stephanas, and talks about how they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. So, and when you know the idea of addiction and how that talks, you know, really deals with the thing of how everything in a person's life is going to start revolving around whatever that addiction is, And here he's saying that this house of Stephanas has addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. They've addicted themselves to this. Think of what Paul talked about to the assembly at Corinth, of where he's saying about the assembly at Galatia, you know, to do good unto all men, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Paul holds up this house of Stephanas, who is doing that, who has this care for the saints, and saying about submit yourselves unto such and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth, and saying that this household, this Stephanas and his family, are a pattern of that demonstration of the care for the other members of the body of Christ. We see Paul talk about this if we go over to Romans chapter number 12. And again, when we get into Romans chapter number 12, we start shifting from where Paul has laid out a lot of doctrinal information in the first 11 chapters of this epistle. Starting in chapter 12, he starts laying out, you know, here's some practical things of, now that you understand all of, you know, what I've just written unto you, you've applied that to your life, this is how, now that you have that understanding, this is what should come about as a result of that. And we'll pick up here at verse number 9 of Romans chapter 12. It says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, and honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. So we see these different things as Paul is laying them out. All of it talking about, you know, this practical things. And you see how, you know, several times in these verses that we see the thing of Paul talking about this care. You know, let love be without dissimulation. So, and there would, you know, another word that we could use would be hypocrisy. So the idea of that our love should be true. Verse 10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, and honor preferring one another. So, taking it back to the thing of, especially unto those who are of the household of faith. You know, verse 13, to give into hospitality. So that idea of, you know, that care they should have for other individuals. You know, verse 16, being of the same mind one toward another. So, that taking back to that care, you know, recompensing to no man evil for evil. You know, and then verse 18, the issue of, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And that taking thing, you know, that goes back to the issue of, you know, doing good unto all men, that there's an issue of, you know, if it be possible, as much as lieth, you know, so, you know, we can only do so much in that, but, you know, that doesn't excuse the thing of, well, I know that they're not going to respond well enough, so I'm just not going to bother. And so they go, as much as lieth in us, that we're to be doing good unto all men. And, you know, if they're not doing it, well, that's really, you know, kind of on them. And they're like, now, without salvation, it's hard for them to actually even try to do those good things, because it just really comes down to it be their good as opposed to for us as saved individuals, that it's the Lord Jesus Christ living through us, and that, you know, really this issue of doing good unto all, especially unto the household of faith, is, you know, all comes back to, you know, what you see things of, you know, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, of Christ living through us. And we'll go over there and we'll read that. Let's go to Galatians chapter 2. And we'll read here verse number 20. It says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So it's Christ living through us. So when we're doing those right things, when we're doing good unto all men, when we're, you know, especially unto those who are the household of faith, when we're, you know, greeting one another in the way that God intends, it's Christ living through us. It, you know, when we're not doing those things, you know, it's us preventing the Lord Jesus Christ from living through us. You know, that's where we get into things of frustrating the grace of God, quenching the Spirit. You know, we're building the wood, hay, and stubble instead of building the gold, silver, and precious stones, which, if we're doing this, if we're doing good unto all men, especially to those who are of the household of faith, we're building the gold, silver, and precious stones. But the only way a person can even get to that point of where they're building those things is that they have to be saved. They have to put their trust in the gospel message. And let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. We're going to read the gospel message of is given to us for this dispensation here. I'm going to start here at verse number 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. It says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. This right here, this is the gospel message. This is the only thing that can actually save somebody today. You know, when somebody puts their trust in that and that alone, they become a member of the body of Christ. They become part of that household of faith. They have the ability then for the Lord Jesus Christ to be living through them, for them to be able to do these things of greeting one another in the manner that God truly intends. And as we greet one another that way, then the body of Christ in that local assembly can start to function properly, demonstrating the care that we're supposed to have one for another. And that's really what God intends for us to do as we go about in our daily walk.